Oh
I
man,
called
this
you
is
guys the, as much as you know, I called you guys the king and the god because I didn't have better things to say.
That's fine.
Wow. Which one's
I meant,
which? Let's figure this out first.
More importantly.
No, let's not start with that.
Why not? You're tweeting about it. You have to differentiate.
Oh, is that what you sleep in, Jacoby? Are those your pajamas? You're just sleeping a button up just in case.
I'm sorry, bro. I take this job very seriously.
I do too. They said after dark, so I'm bringing them sexy.
Silky.
That's what, first of all, you're asking me if that's what I'm sleeping in. I'm asking you, that's what's sexy to you?
Oh, man. I mean, it's a low bar for sexy. You, Izzy. So disappointed in you. We'll talk about it later. I'm not going to talk about it on the show, but later.
That's fine.
You and wow.
I,
wow.
Yeah. To pick. I don't want to discuss it. The menu is up. Get straight to the business, I guess. No
Left
more fooling
hanging.
Around. What you got for
Silky
us, Alabaster?
Drawers.
Alabaster.
Ooh. What happened yesterday?
Oh, so he's been bothering me about taking shoes. I've been on for like an hour. You know how hard it is to get us up and going. And then Alabaster gets 10 seconds in runway. And he can hear my question
now.
Can you hear me now?
Yes. Yeah, we can hear you.
It's not that hard of a question. Go ahead.
Okay, Izzy, what do you have to say for that pathetic performance from the Miami Heat last night? In a minute, wow. Before we get to the Mavericks question.
I feel like I shouldn't even respect the question given the approach to it. The sneak attack, the gotcha journal. Is it the gotcha journalist if you're doing it to a journalist? Yeah, man, it was a tough one. It felt like Robert Williams made a big difference. Like he just kind of took Bam Adebayo out of the game effectively, and they didn't look like themselves. What do we have to say? Look, here's what I have to say. It's actually a topic in our show. I am not going to ride the wrecking ball. I'm not doing that, man. Like, from one game to the next, it's, oh, this series is over. Oh, this series is over in the opposite direction. Let's just say they're pretty close, but the games can wildly swing in one direction or the other. Because I'm pretty sure that the Heat's going to win game five, and my prediction Heat in six is still going to land. So let's just move on to things that are already that happened tonight, because last night is history. Nobody remembers that.
Okay, we'll get started with tonight's game. And my question for you guys, does tonight's result have any bearing on how you view the Warriors?
I mean, I think that there's possibility that we could had a different opinion like a quarter ago, because I actually left this game kind of feeling good about the Warriors.
You did a double take too, huh?
Yeah, I love this.
I actually left this game thinking, oh, they got some bench players. We got some fight in them. I don't know. It's just like, this was definitely a win for the Mavericks, but nobody, it wasn't convincing. It didn't feel dominating. It didn't feel, even though they were blowing them out for much of the game, like, and the Warriors made a run at the end, it still felt like the Warriors in control. Their roof is caving in. It's just a whole mess down there. Mark Cuban's embarrassed and ashamed of his arena. It's just a mess.
I mean, this what I left this game is thinking, as someone who roots for game sevens and drama and fights, I'm sitting there going, why couldn't you just do this in game three? Like, this was your game three. You were supposed to win game three and then game four. And then we all talk about the Phoenix series. This we went to it, lose two on the road, went two at home. Maybe we can sneak a game seven. Like, I really feel like this game four made me feel worse about game three for the Mavericks in a weird way. Does that make any sense to you, Izzy?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because you were looking for, like, I left or left. I wasn't actually at the game, but I finished game two and said, oh, this thing's coming back. To Golden State tied at two. I just thought, you know, the Mavericks were going to do, you know, that slightly better defense in Dallas. They were going to shoot slightly better, and it was going to be enough to sort of flummox the Warriors. And game three, that didn't happen. The Mavs just didn't have whatever that was. I don't know if they were a little bit, you know, games one and two took it out of them a little bit. I personally think a lot of that sort of recovering and reacting defense that you have to just, you know, shrink the floor and then recover. Like, I think they were tired. They've been doing this for the whole playoffs now. And, you know, some of those shots weren't going. You know, Reggie Bullock wasn't hitting anything. And so this felt a little bit more like what they could do. And the thing that kind of drives me nuts is, like, I don't know. I don't know if I'm the only person saying this. I don't watch that much other shows. I think it's probably things I shouldn't say. But does anybody feel good about the Warriors' defense, interior defense? Does anybody feel like, you know, they can really stop a team that attacks constantly? Like, imagine the Jimmy Butler, for example, going, like, I'm pretty sure he'll get 16 free throws a game if he, you know, faces this team. And so
add two legs. Just makes,
right. And so, like, I look at, you know, Dorian Finney-Smith going to the rim, like, effectively, like, regularly in this game. Like, I don't know why they're just not doing more of that, because they can get there. They can finish on that. And, like, it doesn't have to be Luka that's, you know, lining up Steph. It could be anybody, really. Like, it could be Dorian Finney-Smith. It could be Jalen Brunson. So, if they can hunt him down and really, you know, put the fear of God in the Warriors in a home game, like, they, you know, they could, you know, create a game six situation. So I don't have faith in that happening, right. But this is, you're right. This is the Mavericks I hoped we'd seen in game three, and then, you know, would have followed suit in game four and we have a tight series. But now, you know, you can just kind of look at it as a what if.
I mean, getting in the paint is a lot more difficult against the zone, which the Warriors were doing. But when you're shooting well, then the zone is ineffective. So I guess the question comes down to how well will the Heat shoot? And we've already skipped to the next series. I'm not letting you do that. I'm not letting you do that. You were talking about Jimmy Butler taking in. And yeah, you almost duped me into talking about this series as if it was over.
It's late.
And I believe that this series may be over, but it kind of feels like leaving this game, I have more confidence in the Warriors. But I also recognize that it's kind of random. Like, it's not up to the Warriors whether they win or lose, if that makes any sense. It's kind of up to whether the role players are hitting their shots, because I don't think the Warriors are defensively good enough to, like, slow down the Mavericks. When the Mavericks hit shots, the Warriors, like you said, forget Steph, Jordan Poole, my God. Like, I don't know all the intricacies of NBA defense, but I know when I see a man getting hunted and scored on every time he's nearby, him bad at me. I know that.
It's well, first of all, Dominique, it's so adorable you don't think this series is over, because with a 3-0 deficit in the NBA, I think the record is now, I'm going to go like 174. Alabaster will get the numbers. 174-0 are the team that is up 3-0 in a series. This series is over. The Warriors will be in the finals. The series that isn't over is on the other side of the bracket, which becomes interesting to some of the points that were made earlier about the interior defense. And one thing about this Warriors team that everybody seems to be forgetting across the board, they had the number two draft pick 2 years ago. James Wiseman, he was the number two pick in the draft. He was supposed to be this unicornish, like, inside outside rim protector person that they literally do not have available to them. However, they've kind of walked through the Western Conference without too much of a problem outside of game five in Memphis. Like, they have really not been pressed that hard outside of the Grizzlies in this Western Conference, and they're missing a key cog of what they do. Kevon Looney, Damian Lee, and Bielitsa was not the plan for their interior defense, but they might just win a title with that.
Really?
I've
been wrong about just about everything about the NBA playoffs this year, which is rare. NBA playoffs.
Oh, look at my FanDuel account, dog. Look at my FanDuel account. Yeah. We have the same page.
NBA playoffs is normally fairly predictable. Like, the better teams normally advance. But I've been wrong about everything. But I am pretty confident that the NBA champion is coming out of the East. Like, I feel confident about that, which means I'm wrong.
Saying
about
that. People are
like it.
I love this.
I mean, talk dirty to me. I love this.
How is this a bold take?
It's not bold. It's not. The Western Conference was interesting this year. Like, I don't think it was as good as we expected it to be, with the injuries and all of the issues and the concerns that we had. And to the point that we just made, like, Draymond Green is, I guess he's a great passer, but he feels like an offensive liability. He's good on defense, and his emotion is something that's valuable. But, like, they pass him the ball, and he is immediately looking for a handoff. If he catches it in the paint, he is passing it before anyone even steps to him. Like, it seems concerning to me, and it comes down to whether they're going to hit their big shots or not, or hit their threes or not, right? That's what it feels like, is when Steph's on, they can't be beat. When he's not, they can be.
I feel like it's the other I feel like it's the Mavericks. If the Mavericks hit their shots, they're probably going to, you know, stay in this game. I mean, they hit 20. They were on the, like, at a pace to break a playoff record for most threes in a game. And so I think they can kind of replicate that. But, you know, I think it was Stan Van Gundy that kind of went off a little bit. And I believe it was on Jalen Brunson. Like, when you can't switch Jordan Poole onto Jalen Brunson, then you've got a problem defensively. Like, you can't, you should be able to make that switch. He should be able, Jordan Poole, to guard that guy, and he can't. And so it's just, I don't know if it sort of speaks to like what you said. They sort of waltz through the Western Conference because this doesn't feel like the team that is really testing the Warriors defensively. And this is why I think in the Eastern, and it doesn't, I mean, I'm using Jimmy Butler as the best foul drawer of the Eastern Conference, but if it's Jaylen Brown, if it's Jason Tatum, like if they're driving to the, it's going to be a nightmare for the Warriors. So I feel like we're just jumping past the, whether this tonight's result have any bearing on how I view the Warriors. This is how I viewed them. They could lose any game, probably not a series to the Mavericks, but they could lose any game.
I think
win a series. I'm sorry.
This is an interesting question from Alabaster. And before he interjects, I want to say that, like, yeah, you know what? I was very concerned about tonight's result. I was very concerned about when they lost to Memphis and they were down by 55 points. However, I feel the same way about the Celtics and the Heat on the other side of the bracket too. Like, every team left has shown us huge vulnerabilities. They have shown up in games that were not even competitive whatsoever. And that is the NBA playoffs that we are in right now. And I'm interested to hear what Alabaster has to say next.
I would argue real quick that the East side is more injury driven in their swings with the guys that are in and out of the lineup / not.
Which healthy. That, I mean, I'm not sure that's going to get any better because we all believe that that series is going to go seven. So those guys are going to be even more beat up. That might, well, you're not sure. You think they're going to win it in
six? No, pin in that. We'll get back to that because I have a lot on that.
Yeah. All right, Alabaster.
So, Jacoby, to your earlier point, I have the answer for you, 146-0 in the NBA playoffs when the team goes up 3-0. So on the button there. And then my second thing is, Dominique and Izzy, are you really out on the Warriors? They have the best offense in the playoffs. And, like, Steph has been the best player in the postseason. What are we waiting for? They have Poole and Wiggins who have balled out too.
Again, it's consider the opponent, and I'm not out on them. I'm saying, hey, good for them. They're getting to the finals. I just don't think they're going to win it when they get there. I think the defensive presence from both of the Eastern Conference teams is overwhelming, and I know that Steph is great, but Jordan Poole, you can take him out of the game. Klay Thompson, you can probably take him out of a game. It's going to be Steph, and he's going to have to have one of those crazy performances four times in order to beat either one of those teams out of the Eastern Conference.
Alabaster,
I don't know why we're there already, but I think it's true.
Alabaster tried to comfort both of you and then said Poole and Wiggins.
Exactly.
He's like, you forgot about Poole and Wiggins. I was like, wait a second. The reason I forgot about Poole and Wiggins is literally 12 months ago, none of us were talking about Poole or Wiggins.
I would love to see Jimmy Butler play Andrew Wiggins in the NBA Finals and see if Andrew Wiggins gets the best of him.
Yeah,
You've talked about Jimmy Butler a lot, but who is Jimmy Butler today as opposed to a week ago?
I mean,
Hold on, counterpoint real quick. Oh, God. Are Poole and Wiggins worse co-stars than Strus and Lowry or Grant Williams and Peyton
Yurtsevin? Like, Yurtsevin. Yeah. Don't forget Yurtsevin.
Yeah, I'd say yeah, because of what we talked about on Poole on the defensive end of the floor. And I know we're celebrating Wiggins' great defense after holding Luka a couple nights ago to 40 points. Whoa, lockdown defender. Like, I do think that the other side of the court matters. And as much as the Warriors look the same, but they aren't the same as the Warriors that used to win championships. Those teams were like defensive lockdown teams. I think that's the difference.
That includes Klay.
Right. Like,
Klay is not a guy that if I see Jason Tatum lined up against Klay, I think that's advantage Boston by a long shot. You know what I mean? I don't think that he's who he used to be. And even in that situation, like, you're talking about one guy in Jason Tatum who's just like otherworldly, like crazy length and scoring. Like, I don't care if it's prime Klay, you're not going to stop that guy, right? So, and then you've got, if he's healthy, as you keep mentioning, Jacoby, if Jimmy Butler, he'll draw fouls against any of those guys. So, I don't, it's not like I don't love them. Like, look, you want me to be perfectly honest? I never thought in my lifetime that I would see my two favorite franchises in the NBA Finals. And they might end up being there in the Heat and the Warriors. Those are my two favorite franchises.
You're saying I'm
not out on the Warriors. I'm just kind of projecting that they maybe might lose the finals.
To answer this question.
Wait, I can have two, by the way, because when I fell in love with basketball, it was way too early for me to fall in love with the Miami Heat. They were like a baby franchise. They were literally in their infancy, so I fell in love with the Warriors first.
You can have as many franchises as you want, as far as I'm concerned. But I would say to answer this question directly, which is something we rarely do in this program, is No, it does not change how I feel about the Warriors. However, it changes how I feel about the Warriors in the finals. That is what I'm looking at. The Warriors are going to be in the finals. Alabaster just told us, what is it, 146-0 teams are up there. Like, they're going to be in the finals. But whichever team –
make them confirm it again?
Whichever team they are up against, I don't feel great about these Warriors because going into these playoffs, I had questions, and I still have questions now. We haven't seen the same Klay Thompson for sure. We haven't seen the same Draymond for sure. And I'm going to say something that no one's saying. We haven't really even seen the same Steph Curry, even though he's been the best player on the team that is going to the finals.
You are absolutely right about that. And I would throw on top of that, I'm not down with this fan polygamy that you're trying to propagate throughout this program, Izzy. You get one team.
What?
You don't get to fall in love. You don't get to fall in love with two teams.
We're in a polyamorous commune here. We love all the teams.
No, we are not.
We love all the teams. This is a polyamorous commune. I love all of you. I love all the teams, and I support everybody.
Pick
not
one.
To deflect, but I would like to know what measure Charlie's going by to say that Steph has been the best player.
Yeah,
in the
I disagreed with that a long time ago. That was foolishness.
I'm gonna go back to this because we all remember when these Western Conference and Eastern Conference started. We had four superstars that we all had to kind of like pick a side on. We all do this every day, and I picked Steph Curry because I found him the most trustworthy. He's the player I trust the most over. I'm about to say Luka, but I don't really
think I don't even trust the most in this series. Yeah. I trust Luka more in this series.
I was about to say Luka, and I was like, I don't know. Yeah. I probably trust Luka more, and then Steph, and then Jimmy. I just first took myself.
Izzy, are you saying that I assume you're saying that Jimmy Butler is the best player in the playoffs right now?
No. I'm just saying I haven't heard anybody say that Steph Curry is the best player in the playoffs right now, so I'm trying to figure out what numbers I've been missing.
Yeah.
Well, let's just go through his clutch stats in the postseason. His fourth quarter stats in this playoffs, 104 points, 57%.
How many games is Luka playing? Games versus Luka.
Why are you coming up with clutch stats when every game's been a blowout?
27 points per game. 46% from the field, 39% from three, six assists, okay. Five rebounds.
All right, Luka, 32.1 points per game, 9.5 rebounds, 6.2 assists, 47 from the field, 36 from three, probably higher usage. I'm sure
knocked out the number one ranked team.
Yeah. I just don't think this hasn't been like classic just Steph, go with, just, like takeover
just,
type.
Just
stuff.
Go with one of the best. That's you could go with one of the best because I think it's a long shot to say that he's like clearly the best in the playoffs this year. He's maybe the best player who's left as far as like all time career, but he is not playing the best right now. I think that's obviously Luka, and without injury, I think Jimmy Butler comes up second. But
or Jason Tatum. I mean, Tatum has basically had two disappearing acts, which he should probably not get to skate for. But you know, so far in the first one, he won that series. And if he wins this series, he is going to be able to skate for it. But, I think that's at least the conversation. You can't just,
feel the Warriors have been vulnerable throughout these playoffs. Right. And I feel like they haven't really been tested in a way that has shown that vulnerability. And I'm not going to take tonight as an example because guess what? They're like, we're flying back anyway. Like, I feel like there is some psychology to that game four, up 3-0.
The game is easier than a practice.
Yeah, it's like we're flying back anyway. So would it really benefit by winning this game tonight? It'd be nice, but it's not necessary in the way that game five is at home.
Well, at what do you point expect did they say them that actually out loud to each other?
Never. No one does. No one does. But at what? But like, do you expect them to lose Game Five? Like, what would you put the spread on Game Five at? I'm going like, no, Mavs plus 9.
Yeah, I give any game that Luka's facing elimination, I give Luka a shot because dude puts up crazy numbers in elimination games, and so. But I think the Warriors will play better at home, and they'll, you know, Steph will probably shoot even better and probably have his biggest game of the series to close it out. But it doesn't mean that it gives me a lot more faith in the Warriors. I just think, like you, Jacoby, they haven't really been tested throughout these playoffs.
Yeah, I mean,
Jaw's injury was tough for that series. Yeah. It was just tough.
They were, I don't know. I do think that I'm going to be wrong because I've been wrong about just about every series in the playoffs so far. But I would like to point to the fact that coming out of halftime, when we had that rain delay, we listened to all the commentators say, you know, this is good for the trailing team. And then they proceeded to get blown out by even more points. So they wrong too. If I'm going down, everybody's coming with me. They hiding in the bushes, officer. Go get them too, because we're all going to be wrong together.
I watched an entire episode of The Weakest Link at halftime. I didn't have the sound up during the rain delay.
Who was the weakest link? Was it Mark Cuban for not getting the roof patched up? Because apparently this was an issue earlier this season, which I heard them point out that they had this same issue in a regular season game. And somehow Mark Cuban, I don't know, he did some like duct tape on his own home and didn't actually get it.
But let's be honest, renovated. That was the most exciting thing that happened, was the leak in the roof, and then Draymond Green shooting a free throw that ended up on the back of the basket. Those are the two most important instances of this game, were just like structural malfunctions of basketball as we understand them.
I want to stay on Mark Cuban though, because the director of this particular broadcast definitely wanted to stay on Mark Cuban, and I appreciated the hell out of that. Because
they didn't have to go from above. You didn't have to shoot him from above like that.
They show the arena failing, then they go to Mark Cuban. Then they show rags on the floor, then they go back to Mark Cuban. He's sitting there on the phone looking embarrassed. I thoroughly enjoyed that, but I guess that's some backfire from being like one of these outspoken, look at me type team owners that everybody's going to look at you when your shit's messed up. Poor Mark. Well, I guess poor is not the word. Rich Mark.
Very Mitch Mark with some marks on his the way he's run the franchise over the years. Let's just say that.
He dyes his hair, right? He just leaves the little gray so that we think that he doesn't dye it.
Overhead shot was not kind to him, which is unfortunate.
How many billions do you have to have before you can get like some good hair plugs? Or you just don't want them? No?
I can't really.
You don't want to talk about this? Are you scared?
I'm just like, I just kind of let my hair happen.
Yeah, we're three good looking hair guys. You know what I mean? We can't be out here criticizing people. It makes us look bad. Alabaster, save us.
Alabaster, save us? Did you just ask for a producer interjection?
Yes.
You're a producer at heart.
Don't mind if I do. Izzy, I want to hop back. We've talked about the Heat a little bit, and I want to go back to the Heat for one question. And I want to ask this to Jacoby and Fox, too. I left the game last night thinking the Celtics were going to win in six. Am I crazy at this point?
What did you think before the game started? Since you want to be all up in the videos and all up in the show, what did you think before the game started?
Yeah, I thought they dominated the series, and like there were a couple outlier quarters. And then that game was pretty shocking.
Man, I wish we would break up the game into like eight.
You're one of these quarter counters. So
I love this so much. I've never counted quarters more than when I was at a hurricane when I was 10 years old. This quarter counting is crazy. But like, really, what the Eastern Conference Finals comes down to is just like, I'm going to name human beings in this series that have dealt with some sort of an injury. You tell me, like, you add to it when I'm wrong. We got Tyler Hero, Marcus Smart, Robert Williams, Jimmy Butler.
Kyle Lowry's been out.
Hero's out. Yeah, it's like this. It's never ending. Yeah. There's so more on the Celtics side, too.
To answer your question, Charlie, that's how I view the series. It's like, I was looking at that series. It's like, wow, the Celtics are dominating, but Robert Williams is limping pretty bad. And I don't know if he's going to be available after flying to Miami. And I don't know if Marcus Smart's ankle is going to be any better. I don't know if Kyle Lowry's hamstring got worse. Tyler Hero's going to be fighting through. Apparently, Ramona Shelburne said if it was a regular season, it'd be like a 2 to 3 week injury, and he's going to try to fight through it and play. So it really just depends on, A, who's available, and then – to me, it's always some combination of whoever's defense is more devastating first / whoever's making more shots, right? Because those kind of go hand in hand. If your defense is doing great, you're probably creating good offense, and boom, that's why we're getting these blowouts. And so when the defense and both of these defenses, I think Boston's when they're healthy is slightly better, but both of these defenses can be overwhelming and chaotic. And so that can blow up a game, but it could also change people's minds from game to game on what the series looks like. So I think the Heat's going to win game 5, but I also think if Boston win game 5, they close it out in 6.
Maybe.
So You know, it's kind of unpredictable, even though they're very close.
To piggyback on that is one thing. I'm rooting for the Heat. I like the Heat. I respect the Heat culture. Uh-oh. Jimmy Butler was not himself in game four. He was just not himself. You could tell he was not himself. And Tyler Herro was out. And I'm looking at that roster. And I'm looking at the ball move around. I'm like, who's going to get us a bucket? Not even just like get themselves a bucket. Who's going to create a bucket? And so now we're at Victor Oladipo. Like, when you take out Herro and Jimmy was in, but he was not like himself. When you take out those two elements of players with the ball in their hands, they can't create for themselves and others. It gets real hard for the Heat, which makes me think the health of those two is going to really determine who wins game five.
Let me tell you that how I know Jimmy's going to have a great game.
Talk to me.
He was not on any of the All-NBA teams.
He
went from being clearly injured to not being on the injury report for tomorrow. Everybody else is on the injury report. He's not the injury report. No excuses. That dude is going to have a monster effort. I don't know if he's going to make all the shots, but he's going to take a lot.
Accounts coming back.
That based on the insight of the best pregame show in the history of the world, the TNT crew, that when a player is snubbed for an award, they are too focused on it and they play poorly. Am I right? That's what happened with
The right type of player the right amount and goes nuts and has like a 50-point game.
Embiid and Butler are the same dude. Remember, they love each other. They're the best. They're really competitive. They cry after they lose. They care so much. So I think based on that logic, he is going to be salty about it and show a lackluster effort. Isn't that what Shaq said?
You know what I love about all of this is in this Heat-Celtics series, like, let's be honest, we've all vacillated back and forth four times over the course of the series. It's just the way it's gone. Like, the numbers bear that out, too.
I have stayed steady. My prediction said Heat in six. Look it up on ESPN.com. That is two games away from happening. I have no nerves whatsoever in this situation.
I think I have a solution. The Celtics have helped me figure out a solution to all these blowouts, is that we start counting who wins the quarters and who wins the entire game. So we do it like tennis in that you have to win enough sets in order to advance. So at the end of the first quarter, we award 1 point to the Heat. And then we start back over, because that if we would have had that yesterday, then we'd have been fine when the Heat were down 48-3.
So I got something for
putting
you.
Putting the prod and producer interjection over here.
He's tapping.
Okay, so for all of our sake, I wish that were true, because the Mavericks have won as many quarters as the Warriors in this series, and it would be 2-2, and it would be awesome.
Oh, goodness. Man.
I've never heard a more – and this is, you know, again, this is not disrespect because they're 2-2. Never heard a more loser argument for a team to say, hey, we're done. Well, this is why we're going to win. No, it doesn't make any sense. You got blown out so badly in one quarter in one game and another quarter in another game that you couldn't recover. I was wildly disappointed in Bob Ryan for bringing that up on Around the Horn today. Disappointed.
There's some things that do not need to leave the locker room. And that's one of those things, because I believe that has value. Like, if you're losing, like, you say that to each other and it's like, hey, no, we're a better team. We just had a couple bad quarters. You had some bad breaks. Whatever you have to do to get yourself in the right frame of mind, that is a worthwhile thing to do. But don't start telling that to other people and having people talk about it. Like, you want their credit? We don't care how many quarters you want. How many
game
games
three, Dominique.
Want?
Yes, game three, they lost. I mean, they lost the first quarter by a huge amount, right? And then they won the second. But at halftime, they were still down 15. You can't go into, like, you can't just say, oh, I feel really good about halves. You know, you can't, come on now. Like, whatever. It's not.
Can I do the host thing? Can I do the host thing for a second?
Yeah.
Is there any part of you that saw what you saw tonight from the Mavericks? And you all remember how we felt going into game seven against the Suns. And there was no chance the Mavs were going to win that game. And they blew them out. Is there any part of you that walks away from tonight's game and says, you know what? Maybe this goes six. Like, maybe this goes six. Maybe this presses the Warriors to the point. Because right now we're all thinking, hey, Those two teams in the East are beating each other up. The Mat and the Warriors are going to have to sit back and just chill and rest while they beat each other up in the Eastern Conference. Well, is there any part of you?
Yeah. My left foot, if you want to go like a percentage. My left foot believes that because, I mean, it's not just the Luka.
Are you left-footed? Magic. Are you left-footed? But, no.
I mean, I'm a left-footed jumper because I'm right-handed. So,
He just told us he could dunk. He can still dunk. He just told us he can still dunk.
No, that's how I used to grab the rim. I couldn't dunk. But, you know, if you got a team that's going to throw up 45 threes and, you know, has a chance to make them, you know, half of them, then, yeah, they've got that shot. And, again, I think Jason Kidd had something where he's just like, hey, we just falling in love with the threes. I don't love our shot selection. Get to the rim sometimes. It's not that difficult against this team. So, yeah, I think they might have found something where it's just like, I feel good going into, you know, San Francisco. But am I going to pick them to win it? No.
I appreciate that you went first because all I was doing was trying to figure out which part of my body would be the most impulsive because that's where I ended up. So I didn't have to say it because otherwise I would have been talking through this because like whatever part is the most impulsive part is the one that might be like swinging on a pendulum or swinging in general at this particular question. And I am glad you didn't come to me first and you went to the more responsible and the smarter Israel because he's right. And I would have, if anyone cared and asked me who I would have picked to win this series, I would have picked the Mavs before the series started. And then I would have been completely wrong after game.
Of course. Well, I mean, we all felt the same way in the previous series against the Suns. And I do not think that they will win this series, but I do think there's a chance they can push it to six. And I think there's real implications when it comes to the NBA Finals. We see what's happening with the Celtics and the Heat. They're like literally beating each other up. Like there's nine people that could potentially play or not play in game five. And if the Warriors close it out in five, that has implications to how I feel about their chances in the finals. Whereas if it has to go to six, they have to fly back to Dallas at the same time. Who knows what happens in the other series? It extends things. So I think there's more at stake in game five in the Western Conference than the Western Conference. I think it has implications on the finals.
Yeah, I think it's, you know, on the East side, whoever wins game five is going to feel like we got to get this in six because that still gives them, I think I did this math 4 days, right? June 2nd. It still gives them maybe three.
Yes, they have like a fixed date for the finals. Yeah.
Right. So I think, you know, whoever wins that game five is going to say, hey, this game six is critical, which is why I'm still saying Heat and six.
5 seconds left. You about to interject and try?
Yeah,
to
no, I'm about to say, Charlie, I've got more takes. If you're gonna keep me up this late, I've got takes. Let's extend this,
guys. I just wanted to show you. We have a little video of Jacoby setting up his shot before the show.
That see, this is unauthorized. This is unauthorized. Do I have a shirt on?
Oh, no.
I thought I was trying to get rid of the hair.
What's happening?
You know what? Sorry. Sorry, art director. Sorry for being an art director. Sorry for being an art director at the same time.
I thought that was real.
Yeah, you thought I was at the Seaport. Yeah. No, first of all, to let the audience in, Dominique was like, is he at the Seaport doing the show? And he's like, oh, wait, he's a dad. He's trying to leave the house at midnight work so he can get home at 3 a.m. from and then, work. And I heard you saying that. I was literally peeing while I heard you say that. And I was like, that's my guy right there. Shout out to you, Dominique.
And then you don't have to do anything in the morning to get him ready for school. He's like, babe, I was up late working. You just go ahead and knock it out. You almost had a sweet deal, but instead you went to Kinko's and got up.
My wife is out of town for work. She's directing the Candace Parker documentary, her final season. She had a triple-double the other night. So I got to take care of the kids in the morning no matter what.
It starts for you in a couple hours.
Sorry I didn't wear sexy PJs.
Man, you left me hanging. That's all right.
Izzy, I love your commitment to the Heat, Izzy. I love how you brought up Jimmy Butler's
commitment to the Heat. The man just said
whenever
he left two teams.
Everybody says the He's national media the doesn't talk about the Heat, it drives a stake in my heart because they're not listening to me.
I appreciate you.